Okay, good morning, everyone. There is certainly one very, very basic central theme to Rav Soloveitchik's ideas this week, even though there are certain details of it. But there's one primary theme that runs through the parasha. The whole idea of Soloveitchik develops mostly the idea that what does it mean that Hashem wants to have a house on this earth? That's a famous idea that Rav Soloveitchik talks about. He talked about it in many places. And we will get to it as we come to it. But before we get to that, I mean, the truth is, as a nice introduction to that, the very beginning of the parasha, we read v'yikuli truma, that when it came to the building of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu asked for donations. Me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libo. He asked for donations. Me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libo. Donations are supposed to come from anyone who had that feeling in their heart that they wanted to give the money. So the first piece in Rav Soloveitchik here develops the idea, an interesting contrast. the Rambam, I'm sorry, in Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, in the Targum of Yonasan Ben Uziel, so on this pasuk of Me'ez Kolish Hasheyudven Libo, he points out that this particular collection could not involve any degree of coercion. There's no forcing to give this. This was not an obligation. That's what the Torah is saying. Asher yidvenu libo. You had to have really wanted to have this spirit of wanting to give, of volunteerism. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes that tzedakah, the word tzedakah, comes from the word tzedek. Tzedek means righteousness. Now, you and I, we don't really usually think of tzedakah in those terms of like mishpat, like tzedek, tirdov, justice. Tzedek means like justice. What is tzedakah? What do you mean justice? Just the opposite. I'm being a nice guy. That's the way we tend to look at tzedakah. That's not justice. It's me going above and beyond the call of duty. But the Rambam says, no, that's not usually what tzedakah is. For a very simple reason. And therefore the Gemara in Bava Basra, on Dav Chesam and Alv, the Gemara in Bava Basra points out Chesam and Beis, Kofin al tzedakah, that in most cases of tzedakah, Bezdin can actually force you to give tzedakah. If you have X amount of money, you have obligations to give to the town charity pool. There's an obligation perhaps to give one-tenth of your money to tzedakah. There's different obligations. If there's a poor person, you're obligated. It's not a voluntary thing. So Soloveitchik wants to know, how come when it came to the Mishkan, it wasn't they didn't just make a levy. They would levy on the community. Look, like you have a building fund. So, you know, you send your kids to yeshiva. They're building a building. Everyone's got to pay the building fund. The shul needs a building. You need a building fund. So everyone, but the Mishkan didn't work that way. The Mishkan didn't work that way. It wasn't a building fund. So Rav Soloveitchik said, right, when it comes to the Machzis HaShekel, which was a different tax, the Machzis HaShekel was used for karbanos, community sacrifices. The Machzis HaShekel was used for one little piece of the Mishkan, was made with the Machzis HaShekel, the Adonim, the sockets. But everything else, most things, so there, Machzis HaShekel, that's an obligation. You have to give that. So here, but the collection for the Mishkan was dafka, not an obligation. So listen to Soloveitchik's very interesting take on this. He says, why did the Torah eliminate the construction of the Mishkan from that class of activity which does not require consent on the part of the giver? So he writes like this. He comes to it from like a side point. Very interesting. Man is basically a homeless being. No matter how large and opulent is his home, man is exposed. He is subject to the vicissitudes of life, subject to nature, which at best is indifferent to man, and at worst, nature is hostile. Man is always subject to an inscrutable future. You could have the best alarm system, the best protection in the house, but at the end of the day, you never know what's going to happen. You're going to have problems in the house. That, you know, the house is not that which protects the Jew. There's only one home where man gains security. It's interesting, the pasuk in Zos HaBracha, the last aliyah of Zos HaBracha, the Chasan Torah, begins with the words, Ma'ona Elokei Kedem, Ma'ona. Ma'on. The word ma'on means Hashem is our ma'on. Ma'ona Elokei Kedem. God is our ma'on. Ma'on means He's our home. Hashem is our home. That's where your home is. Your home is the protection that's offered you by Hashem. That's why we put a mezuzah on the door. It's not the house that protects, it's the mezuzah that protects. Hashem is called Ma'ona. The only home where man can find security is in the Ribono Shel Olam. That's our alarm system. That's our, you know, protection. I think I've told you over the story. When I went to the Sofer, I think he's in the Olam Amos now, young guy, it's a terrible story. But a Sofer that I was connected with, a very righteous person. So I remember when I bought my first house in Passaic, New Jersey. So you buy your first house and like you scrounge together every like nickel and dime that you have somewhere to just to be able to put the down payment down on your first house and whatever. Your mom has come down to the line, you come down to the wire of all the money you're spending on this thing. And then you didn't cheshbon. I mean, you're a young married guy in cheshbon. What are the mezuzahs cost? I've never been in a, you know, now there's like, oh, you bought a house the first time. It's like, I don't know, 20. 15, something like that. 10, 15, 20 mezuzahs. Depends how your house is laid out, whatever it is. And you go to the sofa. Oh my gosh, I didn't cheshbon the extra couple of $100. Where am I getting this money from? So I remember like lamenting. And the sofa looks at me and says, how much do you pay for your homeowner's insurance policy for 1 year? What's 1 year of your homeowner's insurance? He says, this is much better than your homeowner's, and it's forever. You don't got to pay it every year. It's not a yearly fee. You pay it once, and you got it. It's a homeowner's insurance. So he put me at ease. You know, he put me in my place and put me at ease at the same time. At the same, everybody's a salesman. Yeah. But it was a good. No, but this guy, he's not a salesman. He's a. This guy is not a salesman. He's right. 7 years, he's right. He's right. So man is a homeless being. So beautiful. Hashem is called Ma'ona. The only home where man can find security is in Jerusalem. Hashem told Moshe not to collect the money from the Mishkan by using force, because the Mishkan was to be built only if the nation felt the need to build a home for Hashem on their own. For Hashem, and this is going to be a theme of his whole talk this Shabbos, for Hashem to descend from infinity into a Mishkan built by man is kiviyachol a sacrificial act on Hashem's part. He's constraining himself to a little house. So he says, this act of self-contraction was a sacrifice he was willing to make, but only if the people themselves wanted a Mishkan and were willing to contribute to build it. I'm only coming if you're going to want me. I'm only going to be your home if you understand that I am your home. If you understand that you need me. I'm only coming to live here in your midst. It's like they asked the famous line, they asked the Rebbe of Kutsk. They asked the Kutzker Rebbe. When the Kutzker Rebbe was 5 years old, his father was asking him, where's Hashem? And there's different versions of how it goes. So his father said to him, Hashem is everywhere. And the little five-year-old said, no, he's not everywhere. He's wherever you let him in. That's what the five-year-old Kutzker Rebbe said, apparently. He's wherever you let him in. That's where he is. So that's the point over here. It's interesting. So, I mean, Lahavdil Elf Alfi Avdolos just got an email at 5 in the morning. Oh, it's also a Daf Yomi connection. Got to have the Daf Yomi connection. Yesterday's Daf Yomi, it talked about appointing a rabbi. That you can't appoint a rabbi unless the congregation wants the rabbi. That's why you got to have a vote. So someone asked me in my Daf Yomi shiur, well, let's say you voted against, but you got outvoted. So I said, you got to find a different shul. Because then he's not your rabbi. You're not going to, because the Daf Yomi said, you're not going to accept the rabbi if you don't want him. A rabbi who the people don't want is Nishkin rabbi. That's not, yeah, it's not a democracy. It's a democracy. So in a similar way over here, the Ribono Shel Olam saying, if you don't want me, I'm not coming. So you that's why the Mishkan had to be built. Meis Kalisha Sheyidvenu Libo. This morning, I'm involved a little bit in high schools, whatever. So this morning I got a call. There's two high schools having a fight. So they asked me to come. I should come resolve the fight. So I said, I should come to a meeting because they're having a fight. I should come resolve the fight. I said, I'll only come on one condition. The condition is that both sides, before I come, agree that whatever I say goes. I'm not going to come down there and sit there and talk through your whole argument with you just to have one group say, we don't like what you have to, what am I going to waste my time for? I'm willing to give you my time, but I'm only giving you my time if, you know, So lahavdil, a million havdals. I didn't mean to compare me to God. I didn't mean that at all. But the Rebbe Shlom says, I'm not coming unless you want me there. Unless you want me there, I'm not coming. Oh, let's continue. Zahav v'kesef u'nechoshes. Beautiful piece here. Zahav v'kesef u'nechoshes. Salvajic says that, you know, when you have a people who are slaves for hundreds of years, they're slaves, they have nothing. Forget they have nothing. They have no life, they have no time to breathe, they're downtrodden, they're falling in the 49th level of Tumah, what was going on there in Egypt? And then, all of a sudden, they come out, like Lahavdil, when the survivors of the Holocaust, when they threw all the chocolate at them on the way out, the American soldiers, they threw this, so they got sick, because you go from like the horrors of where you are, and then all of a sudden, on the way out, they get gold and silver, and they deserved it. They worked like slaves for 200 years. They never got paid. And now all of a sudden you get your money. And Hashem says, I'll take that back now. I want you to donate that money to the Mishkan. Senator Soloveitchik, that's a very, very hard thing to do. You work like slaves for 200 years. You have nothing. And all of a sudden you finally make it. And now Hashem says, give it back to me. Zahav v'chesem v'nechoshes. When one undergoes privation, which is a fancy word that means you're lacking, you have nothing. It's natural to want to be compensated for the years of poverty and destitution when that period of lacking ends. And Hashem makes an announcement. Come on, everybody, give me your money. We're ready, except like when you got to raise money at a dinner. It's always this time of year, right? We always this time of year, where the Halb dinner is coming up next week. A week from this, I think. Yeah, I got to speak at the Halb dinner. Here we go. Comes the dinner, you say, what do you mean? I made all this money. It's my money. You're asking me to give my money to the Mishkan to help build a shul, to help build a yeshiva, to help build stock organizations. I should give from I worked hard to make this money. I deserve this money. Zuchter of Salvation, listen to this beautiful line. The people's willingness to give up their hard-earned possessions that they received from the Egyptians is precisely what hallowed and sanctified the temple. See, if I say raising money at a dinner, it sounds like I'm snoring. But when Rav Soloveitchik says it, it sounds exalted. It sounds exalted.
You didn't say it at a dinner if you don't say
exactly,
it at a dinner.
Exactly. Well, that's why I can just quote him. I don't have to say it's not me. Me, yeah, I'm a nachschlepper. Don't listen to me. But Rav Soloveitchik said, what gave the Kedusha? That people were willing to part with their hard-earned money that they sacrificed to build it. That's what gave it its Kedusha. That people were willing to sacrifice. Talk a good word for a dinner, Jerry. No, we'll see. Okay.
He heard it already, though.
Yeah, I know. Believe me. Every year we go through this. Every year. Okay. Okay.
You preach to the choir.
I guess you want to say next week. Yeah, okay. What's that?
You're preaching to the choir.
I know. Believe me. You don't have to tell me that. Believe me. I know that. He's on my team in raising the money. That's what I'm saying. Next Motzei Shabbos. I never had to really fundraise. Most of the years I had to fundraise. Last year I started fundraising. My first foray into the fundraising. Somehow I feel like for the next long time. Now that I did it once, I'm going to have to keep doing it. But okay. Here we go. I was talking to Rabbi Billet at a wedding last night. He was talking about what his next steps are going to be. He says, I'll tell you one thing. Because he's retiring at the end of the year. I said, tell me one thing. I'm not going into fundraising. I did that enough. I'm not fundraising. That's one thing I'm not doing. Here we go. Before this. Beautiful. Before we get into his main point. So the pasuk said, this is the pasuk that summarizes the whole parasha. V'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham. Hashem says, build me a migdash and I will dwell in you, in them, in the people. You build me a migdash, I'm not going to dwell in the migdash, I'm going to dwell in you. So what does it mean that Hashem dwells in a person? Soloveitchik says like this. A According to Reb Chaim Ivolozhin, there is no truer temple, no truer Migdash than the personality of the individual. Where's your Migdash? Your Migdash is your soul, your heart. That's the real Migdash. The real Migdash. And he's going to... Now, you got to remember this right now. To the very last piece, you're going to freak out. The very last piece of today, I hope I get to it. I might make sure that I get to it, but Dafka, the truth is not so much this week. I think I might actually get to it. But listen to what he... Put this in the back of your head, that the real Migdash is in a person's soul, in the depths of his own personality, said the Salt Agent. The Migdash is you. The real Migdash is your personality. Coming attraction at the end of this year, where he talks about how his father never kissed him. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But just listen to this. Listen to this.
You're ending on a high again?
What's that? I'm going to end on a high again. Well, I'm... I'm going to turn... You're funny, man. He's hilarious. Okay, here we go. The divine presence resides within us. Within us. That's the Migdash. The Migdash is, who do you become deep, deep inside? I was talking to a kid in my office yesterday. A kid who's... I don't want to say it on the recording, but... Let's just say it nicely. He's a complicated kid. Say it nicely. A very complicated child. Maybe the most complicated kid in the whole school. Maybe the most complicated kid in my 23 years of the whole school. And I'm very close to him. And we learn together twice a week. I shouldn't have said that, but okay. He's complicated. But I said to him, your job next year in Eretz Yisrael is stop the fighting. You're not fighting anybody. There's just... Relax, take it easy, and just allow Israel. Like, no, he's saying, why am I going? Like, you know, how am I going to Israel? And got into a good yeshiva. Why am I going? I said, you're going to just look inside yourself and discover who the heck you really are inside. You don't even know who you are. You're fighting so much. You're always you're a sheep. Did you say this? You say, just take a. He says, what's the Torah gonna? How's that gonna help me? Okay, I'll learn it. I said, you gotta let it just take a year to sink in. You have no pressure, no test. Nothing. Just think about deep inside. Who is that kid really inside? Who is that? Some people are come. And by the way, we all struggle with this the whole life. We all struggle with this. He might just have a dramatic case of it, but we all have the same thing. To struggle deep inside. Who's the Migdash? What are we really holding in our own Migdash? When you peel away, the deep inside, when you cut through all of the externals, all of who we think we are, we pretend we are, we might be. By the way, that's exactly what Purim is. That's what Purim is. Purim is, you want to know what really Purim is? It's not the hoilulus that people have prostituted it to be. That's not what Purim is. That's people who are, my view, that's people who are just trying to have a good time at the expense of Purim. That's not what Purim is. Purim is... revealing, that's called Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther means to reveal that which is hidden. To reveal that which is hidden means to uncover the Mikdash that's inside every person. To uncover the Mikdash that's inside. Who in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, listen, remember those words for the end of the parasha. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim of your personality, where no one's ever allowed to go, where we don't even always go. That's what Purim is. To look inside, that's why you drink a little bit on Purim. Not to get stone drunk and make yourself crazy. You're supposed to drink a little Purim just to be a little bit loose, to have your guard down so that you could be honest with yourself of who you really are. That's what Purim is about. To be really sincere, not to just tell people what they want to hear, but to help people who they really are. Anyway, so he says, the divine presence resides within us. That's the Mikdash. The real Mikdash is who are you in the deepest recess of your personality. I'm going to dwell in you. In you I'm going to dwell. That's the real Mikdash. Conversely, sin involves the removal of God's presence from within the individual. Because sin is equated to the destruction of the temple. Right? In a very real sense, a sinner does to himself what Nebuzaradan and Titus did to the two temples. Listen to salvation. So when we sin, we destroy. We take a little piece.
Can you say less sin?
He said that sin is to the... Because sin, he says, sin is equated to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean? Because when you sin, you're basically kicking God out of the Migdash that's in you. So he said, so sin does to the, your personal Beis HaMikdash what Nebuzaradan and Titus did to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Because that's the tzustel, that's the comparison. So whenever a person sins, he burns a little piece of the Beis HaMikdash that's inside himself. That's the idea. You're kicking God out a little bit, and he's going to come back to this theme. I better speed it up a little bit, because you got it. And he continues, the same piece. Hashem created the world to reside in it, rather than reside in transcendence. Meaning, Hashem didn't create the world in a way that he's all the way up there and you got to jump up to reach him. No, that's not the way Hashem made himself. That's the way we sometimes think of him. Oh, he's way up there. I can't touch him. I can't reach him. He's beyond me. Man could have continually experienced him instead of trying to infer his presence through examining nature. Hashem wanted to create a world where he was down here all the time. Oh, listen to this beautiful pshat. You may have to look in. Before Adam and Chava sinned, Hashem's presence was imminent in the world. You could feel him everywhere. Everywhere you looked, you turned, you could feel Hashem's presence. And when we went, before Adam and Chava sinned. Now look at, I have over here in the sources. Look at the third source on the second line. Vayishmu is kol Hashem Elokim Mesalech Bagan L'Ruach Hayom Vayischabe Adam. Is unbelievable pshat. Unbelievable pshat of Rav Soloveitchik here. It says by Adam and Chava, after they sinned, the next pasuk says, Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim. They heard the sound of Hashem walking, Mesalech, Bagan in Gan Eden, L'Ruach Hayom, towards the sun. And they hid, because they didn't want to bump into Hashem. What the heck does this pasuk mean? Said Rav Soloveitchik, unbelievable pshat in this pasuk. You know what those footsteps that they heard were? It was Hashem retreating from the world. That's the footsteps. Hashem was retreating from the world. He had wanted the world wanted. What does it mean that Hashem wanted? And then changed the plans because Adam and Chava said, I don't want to get into that. But before Adam and Chava sinned, Hashem's presence was here. They heard footsteps and they hid. What were the footsteps said of salvation? The footsteps was Hashem retreating. And the building of the Beis HaMikdash was bringing Hashem's presence back into the world the way it was before Adam and Chava. Had they not sinned, Hashem would have always been close. As a result of Adam's hiding and fear of communicating with Hashem in the wake of his sin, Hashem removed his divine presence. The purpose of the Mishkan was to restore the relationship between man and Hashem. V'asuli migdash v'shachanti b'socha. V'dibarti itcha me'al ha'kapores, Hashem says, I'm going to speak with you. Just this little side point before we get to the major topic that we're going to finish the rest of the shiur with. So you may be familiar with this fact, right? Shnei k'suva ma'chishim zesa ad shiyova kosav ha'shlishi v'yachir b'nehem. Maybe one of the most famous lines that everybody in the world knows in davening, right? If you get there on time. One of the Yud Gimel Midos that the Torah addresses them is where you have two psukim that seem to contradict each other, and then you have a third pasuk that comes to make peace. So, one pasuk says Hashem spoke from the Kaporis. It says V'dibarti mi'al Kaporis. Another pasuk says Hashem spoke to him in the Ol Moed outside. So the third pasuk says the voice would emanate from the Kaporis, but Moshe would hear it. He didn't have to go inside to hear it. Only the Kohen Gadol went inside once a year. It came from inside, but Moshe would hear it outside. That's the answer to the Pesukim. So Rav Soloveitchik, why was it like that? Why did Moshe bring the Dafka have to hear it outside? Because outside, other Jews were allowed to be. People were allowed to be there. Moshe Rabbeinu only had his leadership because he was a member of the Jewish people. His leadership was only because he was part of the Jewish people. So he had to hear it outside when he was a common person. It couldn't be that you had to go separate from the people to hear Hashem's voice. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, as a leader of Klal Yisrael, was only zoche to the nevuah, to hear Hashem's voice as a representative of Klal Yisrael. So that's why, Saddam Hussein, he had to hear it outside. It's the whole idea that a ruler has to remember. He has to not let it get to his head. Right? Yesterday's Daf Yoimi. Yesterday's Daf Yoimi was that a person should not, a ruler should not behave with srara. We learned that from Yosef HaTzadik. Right? Yosef apparently, the Gemara says in Brachos, Yosef behaved with a little too much srara, too much gaiva in his position of leadership. And that's why he died before his brothers. That's what it says in the Gemara Brachos and Daf Nun Hey, yesterday's Daf Yoimi. You're not supposed to engage with srara. See, at least one day I could remember the Daf Yomi. One day later I could remember. Don't ask me what happened last week, though. Don't ask me. Okay. Now we get to the main theme of the whole parsha. Now we get to, if you thought it was good till now, it was only because I had Siyata D'Shmaya, Barry. Only because I had Siyata D'Shmaya. But now this is the main, this is his main thesis. And he says it in two pieces. The same thesis in two pieces. But he takes it in two pieces, slightly different directions, but... This is what it's all about. Now, in order to understand this, you have to read inside. You have to read inside over here in Malachim. Malachim Aleph Perek Ches. Yeah, you have it? You have it. Everybody has it. Malachim Aleph. Let's read the Pesukim. And here's the key line, the very first pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech was tasked with building the temple. So he's in the process of building. He's done with the building. And when he's done with the building, he stops to ask the following basic question. What in the world did I just spend all my time doing? Building a house for God. Really? A house for God. I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't touch him. He's infinite. And he wants to dwell in a house? Absurd. Absurd on its face. Look at the first pasuk. Ki ha'omnom yeshev elokim al ha'aretz. What kind of joke did I just engage in? Building a house for God on this earth? Ridiculous. This is a base medrash here. We're in a base medrash here with an Aron Kodesh. This is a house of Hashem. What do you mean? What are you talking about? The heavens and the upper heavens and the heavens of the heavens and all the seven heavens and whatever you can, the universe, the cosmos and whatever in the world is beyond the universe. It can't contain him. Lo yichal kalucha afki abayis hazeh asher banisi. The whole heavens can't contain you. This house is going to contain you. And then the next 10 psukim, it's really the next 40 psukim, but I didn't include all of it here because I didn't think I would have time to read all of them, and I was right. I don't have the time. But it's really beautiful. All of it. You got to read even more than I have over here. Basically, the question remains unanswered. What does Shlomo HaMelech go on to say? What's his answer in quotes? Let's read what he says. He doesn't answer the question. It's like a rhetorical question. But what's the answer? Ufanisel tfilas avdecha v'altchinaso. I want you to please listen to the prayers of your people. Hashem Elokai. Lishmoel arina v'latfila. To listen to the joy of prayer, the song of prayer, and the prayer. Please listen to my prayer. What's my prayer? I want your eyes to be open to this house. This place that you have said that my name will be there. Please, Hashem, listen to the prayers that wherever your people are throughout the world, their prayers are always going to go up to you through this house, through this place. That's the way we face all the time. And even if you don't know where to face, that's what you're supposed to be thinking about all the time. That place, that Mokum HaMikdash, even today. And the Pesukim go on to say, if a man sins and he brings a carbon, it'll be in this place. And even if he doesn't bring a carbon, he's going to pray to this place. When we're at war, we're going to pray to this place. When people are sick, we're going to pray this way. Whatever you need, this is where we're coming. So listen to Rav Soloveitchik's words on this. The command to build a Mishkan is a very difficult one to understand. It is linked to a great and sublime secret. As Shlomo HaMelech expressed in his prayer, after completing building the first Beis HaMikdash, can Hashem live on the earth? When Shlomo posed this question, Hashem apparently provided no response at all. Instead, Shlomo continued with a request. I want you to listen to our prayers. Listen to the prayers of the Jewish people. Instead of searching for an answer to how infinity can dwell in a place of finitude, Shlomo answered, he requested that Hashem accept our prayers. Why does Hashem want a house? Why does Hashem want a house? Very simple, said Rav Soloveitchik. So he can be one of the boys. So he can dwell among us. This is the true intent of the mitzvah. Va'asuli migdash v'shachanti b'socham. Where they live is where I want to live. In a home. Next to them. Nativari is 3 Kotel Plaza. Hashem lives at 5 Kotel Plaza. Yeshiva Nakota, I gotta give everybody equal time here. Yeshiva Nakota lives at 7, Rechov Hayuhudim, and God lives at 9. At any time, you may knock on my door and talk with me to tell me your worries, your dreams, your desires, without hesitation and without shame. Because that's the very reason that I contracted myself, I was mitzamtzei myself, and put myself into this house. So you should feel there's an address to come to. It's not for me. God doesn't need a house. That's ridiculous. He constricted himself into a house, so we should have an address. We should have a place. And it is appropriate for me to dwell between the Kruvim on top of the Aron, covering 1 square Amma. The infinite being limited to the finite Aron Kodesh. Ki basi based tfila yikari l'chala amim. My house should be called a house of prayer for all people. That is the answer to the question. This was the intent of Shlomo Melech as he continued the quest like I read to you. Throughout Golas, they should direct their hearts at times of prayer to this house, the abode for the divine presence, as if they are there, as if the Shekhinah is right next to them. By the way, Daf Yomi reference. All my friends will learn Daf Yomi. So yesterday's Daf also said, Bezalel knew how to put together the letters of creation, the letters of that Shenivru bo Shemayim ba'aretz. Bezalel yada letzarif osios Shenivru bahem Shemayim ba'aretz. The whole goal of creation was that God's presence should be in there. So when Bezalel built the Mishkan, he used the same blueprint of creation. He used the same blueprint from the Mishkan because the whole goal of creation was that Hashem's presence should be in the world. That's like a side point. There are mitzvos that obligate us to bring various sacrifices at various times of the year. Listen to this beautiful side point he says over here. He says, a karban could be brought by a shliach. The Kohen, you can be at home and you can appoint a shliach to bring carbon for you and you're yotze. You don't have to be there. Somebody else can bring it, somebody else can slaughter it, you can appoint a shliach to shatit. But prayer, said Rav Soloveitchik, prayer. You can't appoint somebody to daven for you. Prayer requires closeness. Prayer requires the embrace. If there is no closeness, there is no prayer. Even though prayer was established in place of sacrifices, it is impossible for an agent to act on behalf of the sender. Prayer requires a feeling of closeness as if one is standing opposite Hashem in Hashem's embrace. Such intent is a central idea and a fundamental principle in prayer. So that's why, when it came to davening, we need to base HaMikdash on this earth.
Isn't prayer tefillah substituting for karbonos?
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah. It's a good question. It's a good question. It's a good question.
Barry, it's a good question.
No, because it's two different things. It's a very good question.
Together.
But apparently, it's a very good question. But the substitute is not exactly the same thing as the real thing. You're right. That's a very good har. That's exactly what he's saying.
Call the chazan shliach.
What?
The chazan is our shliach tzibur.
Interesting. Interesting. So I would say, it's like the chazan's tefillah is one collective tefillah that he's offering on behalf of the group. But actually, that's why you got to listen to every word, because it's like you're saying it. It's like you're saying it too. But that's also a very good question. Unbelievable. Okay, so I'm going to come back to this point in the menorah. Stickle side point. We'll see if we have time. We probably will have time. But let me just continue on the same theme over here. Oh, unbelievable. All right, so on the psukim, okay, I have three more things to say. Okay? 7 minutes, three more things. So it's going to go a little too fast. I apologize. Go a little too fast. But you got to hold on. Got to hold on to this. First is part two of what I just said. And Rav Soloveitchik said this on the pasuk. There's a medrash that said on the pasuk, 20 beams in the south, 20 beams in the north. That's the way the Mishkan should be. So the Medrash is Shmos Rabbah. You have it on the back of the page over here. I quote you the Medrash. B'shal, let's read the Medrash together. B'shal Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Asei Li Mishkan. Hischa Matvi Yavamar Kvot. So Moshe asked the same kash from Shlomo. Kvoto Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei El Yom V'Tachton V'Hu Omar Asei Li Mishkan. V'Ot HaYim Stak HaVarosh Shal Shlomo Omer Yubonu Bis HaMikdosh. He looked in the future. Shu Gadol Min HaMishkan. The base of Mishkan was even bigger. And he had the same kasha. Ki ha'omnam yeshil kem al arts amar Moshe. Ma bis ha'migdash yosef yosef min ha'mishkan. Shlomo markein. Mishkan alachas kama v'kama kal v'chaim. If the bis ha'migdash Shlomo said wasn't big enough, kal v'chaim the Mishkan was. Lekach amar Moshe. Yoshev b'seser elyon. Amir hu debar Rebbe Simon. Yoshev b'seser hu elyon al kol b'yosef. Ma'u b'tzel shakai. B'tzel kale. B'tzel rachum. B'tzel chanan inksiv kanel. B'tzel shakai. B'tzel she'asa b'tzalel. L'kach nemar b'tzel shakai yislonon. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo k'shem she'ata savor, kach ani savor. I don't hold like you. Ella, 20 beams in the north, and 20 beams in the south, and 8 in the west. V'lo od, Ella she'ered v'atzamtzim sh'nezim soch ama al ama. That's what the Medrash says. Moshe wondered, how is it possible to bring down infinity into the midst of finitude? How is it possible to cause absolute transcendent, the Most High who dwells in concealment, Yoshev B'Seser, the Almighty who abides in deep darkness, to reside in the midst of a small, narrow sanctuary in the midst of concrete? The answer is, if a person yearns for God, if his lovesick soul craves for her beloved and creator, then it would appear incumbent upon Hashem. I'm sorry. It would appear incumbent upon a person to extricate himself from the shackles of his physical being and to go up, to ascend, to abstract and transcendent mountain, to Hashem. Because how can a physical, biological individual stand within Hashem's holy place? And yet, here the standard is reversed. We bring Hashem's glory down into the lower world, into the Beis HaMikdash, into every shul and Beis Medrash, into here, into this room, into the very midst of the sense realm, in the midst of space and time, into the domain of quantitative measurement. Hashem's answer is, I don't agree with you. Put 20 planks in the north and 20 in the south and 8 planks in the west. Not only that, I'm not only going to constrict myself in a place that's 20 planks by 20 planks, I'm going to put myself in one amma on top of one amma on top of the amma, on top of the aro. Infinity contracts itself. Eternity concentrates in the fleeting and transient. The divine presence in the dimensions and the glory of Hashem in measurements. It is Judaism that has given the world the secret of tzimtzum, of contraction, that Hashem is an infinite world, can be really down here on this world, to contract. When Hashem came down on Har Sinai, He set an eternally binding precedent that it is God who descends to man, not man who ascends to God. When He said to Moshe, "V'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham," He revealed the awesome mystery that God contracts His divine presence in this world. And Rav Soloveitchik further says the idea that just like God contracts Himself and limits Himself to one amma, we're also obligated to imitate Hashem and contract ourselves. How do you contract yourself? You come home from a long day of work, hot and thirsty, and all you want to do is take a drink when you walk into the house. Hashem says, wait a second. Stop. Make a bracha first. That's us imitating Hashem. Hashem contracted Himself into the Mishkan, into the Aron, we also say, I have to stop. I have to contract my desires. I also mitzamtzei myself. Make a bracha. Remember where it came from. Stop for a second. You don't have free reign here. You don't have free reign. Similarly, when a Jew closes his place of business a half hour before sunset on Friday, he redeems his profit from the other 6 days of labor. Okay, that's one. Two more. The menorah. About the menorah, it says, Moshe had trouble understanding the menorah. Hashem showed him a menorah of fire. Ask ourselves, Eichik, what was Moshe's problem with the menorah? Was the menorah so much more complicated than the Mizbeach and the Shulchan and the Aron? Says of Salvechik, Moshe Rabbeinu's problem with the menorah did not have to do with the physical construction of the menorah. He understood that just as well as he understood. To form a menorah wasn't any more complicated than the Mishkan. What was his problem? How am I going to get the light of the menorah, the spiritual dimension of the menorah? How am I, when I'm building it, how am I going to imbue this menorah with the Kedusha of a Tahara to shine its light? It's the light of Torah, the light of wisdom, the light of Chochmah that the menorah implicated. How am I going to get that to shine? That was his problem with the menorah. So what did Hashem show him? A menorah of fire. What's the answer? The answer is passion, inspiration. That's the way you're going to be able to transmit Torah, through fire, through love, through passion, through inspiration. He showed him a menorah of fire. So Sudav Salvechik. And now let's get to the last piece, which the coming attractions, which I promised you I would get to. Listen to this. Why did Rav Salvechik's father never kiss him? Listen to this. Listen to this. He says it like this on this. V'evdila parochas lachem bein hakodesh v'ein kodesh hakodashim. And the parochas divides between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim. The kodesh hakodashim, where no man was ever allowed to go except for one person, one time a year for a little bit of time. That's the holiest place on earth. No one was allowed to go there. It was so holy you couldn't go there. What's the point in having a place that you can't go to? Zokter of Salavechik, the holier something is, the more private and concealed and hidden it is. From the time I was young, writes Rav Salavechik, I learned to restrain my feelings and not to demonstrate what was happening inside my deep emotional world. My father would say that the holier and more intimate the feeling, the more it should be concealed. There is a hidden curtain that separates between one's interior and exterior. V'hivdila parochas lachem bein hakodesh uvein kodesh hakadoshim. What location is more sanctified than the kodesh hakadoshim of one's emotional life? If all is going well and one's heart overflows with happiness, he should reveal the deep interior of his soul to Hashem, but he should not reveal it to others, lest the stranger profane his holy of holies. If, on the other hand, someone is in dire straits, marred in a cloud of pain and suffering, finding himself abandoned and alone, he should reveal his thoughts before Hashem. He should cry to him and supplicate behind the curtain. But you're not supposed to wear all of your private feelings outside to the rest of the world. A stranger should not approach the Holy of Holies, lest in his apathy he profanes the sanctity of the mute pain that burdens the sufferer. The Kohen Gadol's rendezvous with his creator is in solitude. No one else was allowed to be there. Said of Salvechik, my father never kissed me. Whenever he would take leave of me, he would press my hand and say, go in peace and may Hashem watch over you. A casual onlooker, were he to hear these routine words, might be taken aback and mumble to himself, dry, brisker coldness. But that observer witnessed only the exterior, that which was outside the curtain of my father's personality, and did not comprehend that my father's interior, his holy of holies, his Kodesh HaKadoshim, was full of mercy and compassion, containing a refined and bold love for his children, incessantly concerned about their welfare, sacrificing himself for his children's future. His entire being was overwhelmed with love. At the same time, he was careful not to violate the warning of, and no man shall be in the Ohel Moed, protecting the modesty of his emotional life. good, Gizal. I'm with you. I'm with you, Rabbi Friedman. I'm with you. It's the idea. I'm not. Right. Rabbi Friedman's pointing out that this idea is lahalacha v'lo lemaisa. No, we're not suggesting that everybody here shouldn't kiss their kids. We're not suggesting that. Thank you for that, Rabbi Friedman. I kiss my kids too. But the idea is an important one, though. The idea is that, going back to what we said before, every person has a Beis HaMikdash inside their own neshama, inside their own soul. And the more holy something is, the more it's supposed to be hidden. We're not supposed to wear everything out on our sleeve. We're not supposed to wear it all out. Some stuff is supposed to be in public and some stuff is supposed to be in private. But he says that's the thing that I want you to take. Not whether you should or shouldn't kiss your children. I agree. Your kids have to feel that love all the time. And if you don't hug and kiss your children, a lot of time they're going to feel neglected. But the idea is that we have to look deep inside ourselves to know what's really going on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim of our own lives. And a lot of times we fake ourselves out to not really know what's happening in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We don't even know our own Kodesh HaKadoshim. We never even really venture in there. And I think that's really the message of Purim also, about uncovering the hidden. And a person, Purim is the one day a year to be real, to be sincere, to be through simcha. It's Purim is like Yom Kippur. The Vilna Gaon said Purim is Yom Kippurim. Kippurim. Yom Kippur is Kippurim. Yom Kippur is the way we find God in the Kodesh HaKadoshim through doing nothing, through not engaging in the world. Purim is the day you find God through going, through eating and drinking, through being a little bit looser, and through seeing deep inside who we really are. May it be the will of the Rabbanu Shalom that each of us live our lives knowing who we are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim of our, trying to get closer to the way Adam and Chava were before the eating of the Eitz Hadas, that Hashem was here in the world and we knew Him and we connected with Him in a real way. We should be real people. We should be zochet to always discover that Migdash within ourselves until that time when Hashem will hopefully one day very soon rebuild the Migdash in Yerushalayim. May they come here. Have a great Shabbos.